Tonight's reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18, and can be found on 1089 of the Bibles, the blue ones anyway. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying in there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm on now. Ha-ha! Thanks very much, Sophia. You didn't hear it the first time. It's great to see you. Happy Easter, everybody. Really, really happy Easter. Now, as we're celebrating, I happened to find something in a cupboard that I thought we'd have a look at this evening. But you think this only happens in a morning service, don't you? I need a volunteer. Does anyone have a birthday in March that they're going to admit to? There's something going on. Anyone got a birthday in March? Where? You don't have to if you don't want to. March or April? Anyone want to volunteer? Either just had a birthday. Oh, come on. Esther, hooray! Give Esther a big round of applause. Now, Esther, I found this beautifully wrapped box, and I thought, as it's just been or just about to be your birthday, just been your birthday, you might want to come and undo it and tell me what's inside. This is really exciting, isn't it? It's really exciting. I love birthdays. I love celebrating. There we go. What's inside?
Nothing.
Oh. Oh, it's empty. Mm-hmm. Oh, Esther. Oh, I'm really sorry. Oh, thanks. Everyone give Esther a really lovely big round of applause as she goes back to her seat. Thank you. Oh, right. Well, emptiness. Emptiness is not usually good news, is it? As Esther's just found out. So her cost. Emptiness doesn't always feel good. Imagine old Mother Hubbard's dog in anticipation as she goes to the cupboard to fetch her poor dog a bone, and there's nothing there. It's empty. I wonder if you've ever got into the car, especially after somebody else in your family has used it, and come to this, the fuel gauge on the empty sign. That's not good news, is it? Is it even going to get out the driveway? Or are you going to even make it to the fuel station? And who is going to pay for that fuel? If you're in my house, we have a communal biscuit tin that's only allowed out at certain times, but sometimes I go to the biscuit tin at snack time and find this. It's not usually my children. That only leaves one other person if it's not me, but I won't tell you it was him. And the biscuit tin is empty. Emptiness is not good news. A well in the two-thirds world, when that's empty, that's the difference between life and death. Emptiness is seldom good news. A while back, there was a phrase that was going around. I don't know if you caught on to this. The idea that those who didn't know God somehow had within them a God-shaped hole. No matter how successful they were, no matter how much wealth or how many belongings they accumulated, no matter even how many friends and how many loved ones, you know, those things that we might consider really important they had around them, there was still a sense of something missing, a certain sense of emptiness, a certain sense of searching for something that wasn't able to be found and accumulated. A sense of emptiness has always also been written at scientifically at length as part of the natural process of grief. It results in separation, the death of a loved one, or another significant change that means we lose something. In the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, is in mourning. Lots of tragedy happens in her life, and she says this, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them, "call me Mara," which means bitter, "because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." That sense of emptiness brought on by grief affects many in our world today. We've just prayed for Brussels, prayed for those in Lahore in Pakistan, those fleeing persecution, those who have become refugees, those who've been made redundant, those who are bereaved. It may well be that you too know a sense of emptiness today, a sense of loss, a sense of missing something or someone that you valued very highly. Emptiness may be your constant companion. I was at the Heath Church this morning and we were trying to walk a bit of a tightrope between the emptiness of bereavement and the hope of new life. As we remembered Sue Messenger, was a long-time organist and choir leader at the Heath, who sadly died earlier this week, quite unexpectedly. There was a communal sense of emptiness, definitely something missing in that gathering. And I think we've probably known that sense here at St. Mary's in recent months. And yet today, Easter Day, there is an emptiness that speaks to all this other emptiness. Sometimes it speaks triumphantly. I'm slightly hoarse from really singing my heart out in praise and worship. Guys, it's just beautiful, beautiful music. It's praise and worship to God. Real songs of triumph, real songs of joy. Jesus is risen. Sometimes it comes in a gentle whisper. And it's the emptiness that was found by Mary Magdalene as she comes to the tomb early in the morning whilst it's still dark. Because, of course, on that first Easter morning, sometimes it's difficult for us to reset our minds to be in their mindset because we kind of know who done it and what happens next. But all she knew in that moment was grief. All of Jesus' friends thought the story had ended, that the fullness of life that they'd enjoyed for the past 3 years had finished abruptly as they stood on the hill of Golgotha 2 days previously. And grief shrouded all of them. And then, to add insult to injury, shock and numbness overtake Mary as her expectations are dashed. The tomb she had expected to find full, the tomb which should have contained her Lord's body, is empty. The most painful emptiness yet. Mary can't fully comprehend this emptiness, not to begin with, at least. Her grief remains real, raw. It remains overwhelming, and she weeps in the garden, unable to come to terms with Jesus' death and now the loss of his body as well. Our Easter celebrations, as I say, are rightly joyful and triumphant. The resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the most significant event in the whole of history, and it's significant on a cosmic scale. But we can't let that blind us to the way that Jesus first chooses to speak to Mary. Let's not miss the gentleness, the tenderness with which Jesus announces the truth of the situation to her. Because here there are no trumpets, there's no fanfare, there are no marching crowds, there are no fireworks. Instead, in a beautifully gracious act of love, God first sends her two angels to break the news to her. And then, of course, there's this beautiful meeting with Jesus himself. As John reports, Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And of course, there's that beautiful moment of realization as she sees Jesus, the newly resurrected Jesus, her Lord and Savior, and all of the grief and the clouds and the darkness and the emptiness begin to roll away. But the thing is that Mary was in tears as she received the good news of the resurrection. Mary was in tears as she discovered that the emptiness of the tomb on Easter morning was, for once, the best possible news anyone had ever heard. And it was with absolute gentleness and kindness that Jesus revealed to her, the broken-hearted Mary, that hope was alive, that death was beaten, and that peace between God and people had been secured for eternity. The hope of Easter isn't just for those who are already over the moon. It's for the broken-hearted, it's for the grieving, for the empty, for those who find themselves in tears. I don't know if you've heard of a guy, Glenn Scrivener. He's an amazing poet, and he's come up with a few different ones, and I particularly like this one that he's done, which puts it so beautifully.
If she'd been here, my brother would not have died. She'd tried. Were you otherwise occupied? Were you hiding, biding your time? For what? A deeper challenge? A grander entrance? A brighter glory? A better story? The nick of time is a good story. That would do. 11th hour, you'd come through. Midnight, you were due. Now it's 2:30. Where were you? If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. You were meant to ride in on the white horse, enter the fray, the dragon slay, save the day. Did you hear us pray? Did you want it this way? If you'd been here to stop him dying, why are you crying? You're meant to be death-defying. Why are you sighing at the tomb, decrying mortal ruin? Why in God's name are you queuing for the same? You're commander-in-chief. We demanded relief. Now you landed beneath all our sorrows and grief. Now it's you on your knees, empty-handed, bequeathing as none of our pleas. Is this what you chose? To bring only tears? We got plenty of those. Why are you here? You say to draw near. And then to sink like a stone past the brink of the chasm we desperately fear. In darkness enfolded, our terrors you shouldered while pierced by the nails and the spear. You have been here. You've stooped far below all depths that we know. Engulfed in our weeping and woe. Submerged in the grave, then risen to save, upending assumptions we'd made. See, if you had been here the way that we prayed, we'd only succeed in death's delayed. We'd only evade the reaper for now, but soon we would bow. Soon we'd be plowed in the ground with no one to plead. Yet, through you, death's a gardener, and we are the seed. And this is the path resurrection decreed. If you will be here, drawing near, that will do. For now, to know you in your grace, we can face what is true. As in Adam, the world dies, so in Christ, all will rise. When you appear, my brother too, when you wipe away tears, when darkness clears, when morning has cheered, when joy swallows fear, here's how we'll cope, this our true hope. You will be here.
Today, as we think of the emptiness around the world, in Brussels, in Pakistan, in Syria, in refugee camps, in North Korea, other desperate parts of the world, as we see emptiness in our own country, our own local area, emptiness caused by loneliness, by addiction, by broken relationships, by bereavement, by grief, and perhaps as we experience emptiness in our own life, I wonder together if we can hear the kind and gentle and tender voice of Jesus in the garden with Mary while she was still in tears. Here I am, Mary. Because of all that Jesus endured for us, betrayal, torture, rejection, and death. Because of his power to overcome death and come through the other side. Because his heart remains tender to all those who know an emptiness of any kind. We can know that because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, we can now claim the gift of living life to the full. Because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, no emptiness in the world today is beyond his touch and his power and his healing. Because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, we can know the fullness of forgiveness, of redemption, of restoration. Because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, whatever has happened in the past does not need to dictate our future. Because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, every man, woman, and child can know a fresh start. Many, many, many fresh starts. Because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, we know that death no longer has the last word, and the way is open for all of us to follow through it and out the other side into eternal life. Because the tomb was empty that first Easter morning, our future is dripping with hope. Emptiness sometimes is terrible, but unlike my empty present, that first Easter morning, emptiness was the best possible news in the world. Esther, there is some good news at the end of this. I'll bring it to you. The tomb is empty. He is not there. He is risen. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
alive. Shall we pray together? Let's stand and pray.